I'm going to read in James chapter number 1. We've been hearing about the law and sin. James chapter 1 and verse number 14 and 15. James chapter 1, 14 and 15. Now this will apply very well to everybody, but especially to Adam and especially to Eve. We read in verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, Eve saw that the tree was good for food. God never made man to die. But she saw that the tree was good for food, and she lusted after it. And when that lust conceived, she took of the tree, and that conceiving of that lust brought forth sin, and sin, when it was finished, brought forth death, and God had already told him, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's how death came into the world. And this verse is true of every one of us because we're all sinners in the sight of God. And when sin is finished, to go on in your sins and finished, it's death. It brings forth death. We want to look at that. Now, if you look with that in mind, let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. We're going to read about so great a death. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians and verse 10. Paul says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and death deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Sin, lust, when it has conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And it's called so great a death. Now, I'm going to look back at that again, but I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3, and you're going to see another so great. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, we read this. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Now, I've read about so great a death, and I've read about so great a salvation. So, that's the account of the Bible from one end to the other. The message of the Bible is that when lust in the Garden of Eden conceived, it brought forth sin, and when that sin is ultimately finished, it's going to bring forth death. It brought forth a form of death, but it's going to bring forth a greater death. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, I don't think we read about so great a death or so great a salvation. It was there, probably, but I don't think we read of that. Those are New Testament terms. Because it's looking at death in its fullest sense, and it's looking at salvation in its fullest sense, that's why that little word, "so great a salvation and so great a death." Now, we're going to look at the so great a death a little bit, and then we're going to look at so great a salvation. Man is a three-part being. He has a body, that's his house. He has a soul, that's your life. He has a spirit, that's that part that can or should be able to, or did, was able to contact God. Now there's three parts to man, and there's three different deaths in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died the very day God said, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." They died spiritually. That is, their spirit that could contact God and have fellowship with God was separated from God. It doesn't mean man didn't have a spirit. It meant that the spirit was separated from God. So that's the state of mankind when the Christians at Ephesus were saved. Paul wrote to them in chapter 2 and verse 1 and says, "You who were dead in trespasses and in sin." They weren't dead physically, they were dead spiritually. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're dead to God. You're separated to God. Sin, lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin, and sin separates you from God. It separated Adam from God. It separated from Eve from God. It separates the whole world from God, because we're sinners in the sight of God until we're reconciled to God and our sins have been dealt with. So there's spiritual death. Then there's physical death. That we're so familiar with that. Physical death is when the spirit and the soul leaves the body and there's a separation there and the body is dead. That's physical death. We're well aware of what that is. We have graveyards everywhere that tell us what physical death is. But it's only a separation, it's a ceasing to the functioning of the body, but it's not the death of the soul. Jesus put it this way in John 10 and verse 28. He said this, "Fear not him that's able to kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that's able not to kill, but to destroy both body and soul in hell." So that verse tells us that your body can be killed, that you can be killed, but you cannot kill your soul. Somebody could shoot you and you'll die physically, but your soul doesn't die. It just separates from your body and it's gone. Somebody wrote me last night about a dear brother in Sussex area that was saved in some meetings that we had 30 years or more ago, that Bob is gone. He died last night about 8 o'clock. He's gone. They wrote, "He's gone home." But I'm sure if you're over there now, you'll see his house, his body, probably in a casket, in a funeral parlor. His body is still there. But the soul has left the body. The spirit has left the body. It's gone. It's gone. So, there's spiritual death, that the sinners are spiritually dead to God. And then there's physical death, when sin is finished, it will bring forth physical death. And when physical, but there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. And there's another death called the second death. In Revelation 20 verse 14, we read about a second death. It's the resurrection of the body and the soul coming back together, and it's a casting into the lake of fire. That is called the second death. The first death, we do not die. We're dead, born dead in trespasses and sin. The next death, we possibly might die if the Lord doesn't come. That's a physical death. But if you die in your sins and you're unsaved, we are raised up in the resurrection. You're raised up and you stand before God, and you're going to die what the Bible calls the second death, which has to do with both the body and the soul cast into the lake of fire. That's your portion if you're here tonight and you're not saved. If you leave, when sin is finished, it's going to bring forth death. So your sin isn't finished yet, but it will be finished the minute you die. Your sin, your fate will be sealed, your destiny will be sealed, and if you die, you're going to be raised, and after that, the judgment, and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's not a very pleasant thing, but it's a fact. It's a fact. So great the death. Paul says, the Lord has delivered us already from so great a death, that spiritual death. He does deliver us from as we go on. And he will yet deliver us. He is going to deliver his people from death. Because he has so great a salvation. He has a great salvation that's able to overcome that sin and that death. Sin is not finished in the life of a person until they die physically. But once you die, if you die in your sins, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. There is no way a sinner can ever get out of this world, still in their sins, and go to be with the Lord. That's an impossibility. Jesus himself said there was no way those people he was talking to could ever get into heaven with their sins. He was going back to heaven, but they could not come where he was. Your sins have to be put away. They have to be blotted out. They have to be taken away. The law proves that we are guilty before God. Romans chapter number 3 and verse 19 says that the law, it proves that the whole world is guilty before God. We're on death's row when we're still in our sins. But when that sin is finished, the final end of that sin is the second death. It's both body and soul being cast into the lake of fire. Jesus said, fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul. And that word destroy is the word perish. It means a loss of well-being. It doesn't mean a cessation of being. It doesn't mean that you're going to be cast into hell and that's the end of you. It is the end in the sense you'll never get out. You're there forever. It's the prison house of all the wicked that reject Christ and will not come to the Savior. It's the prison house, and they'll be confined to that prison house forever and forever and forever. A place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place where God's wrath is upon them and upon their sins because of their sinfulness before him. That's the so great a death. That's the final aspect of what the Bible calls death. Spiritual death, physical death, but then eternal death, or the second death, which is eternal. There's no resurrection. There's no salvation. There's no offer of grace in that place of mercy. Then we read about so great a salvation. That's the opposite. So great a salvation. That's what salvation is. It's a deliverance. A deliverance from what? Deliverance from sin. A deliverance from sin is a deliverance from death. The second death. And a deliverance from death is a deliverance from hell. So this great salvation is the opposite of so great a death. So it's so great, man has three parts. He has a body, he has a soul, he has a spirit. And this salvation takes care of every part of man. It's so great that it takes care of every part of man. There are three aspects of salvation, just the same as there are three aspects of death. The Bible term is justification, and sanctification, and glorification. Three parts. Justification has to do with the spirit of man. Sanctification has to do with the soul or the life after you're saved. And glorification has to do with the body of man. Three parts of man. God has three parts of salvation, and that's why it's called so great a salvation. Now, when mankind sins, he's already under the condemnation of God. That's why we read in John 3 and 18 that he that believeth not is condemned already. It doesn't say there's coming a time when you're going to stand before God and you're going to be guilty. Romans 3:19 says we're guilty already. And John 3:18 says we're condemned already. There'll never be a time when God, if you're here tonight and you're still in your sins, there'll never be a time God will condemn you. God will judge you. You've been judged already. You're on death row. Put it that way. You're on death row. Just waiting for the execution day. Just waiting for the time that you die, and after that the judgment and the executing of that judgment. But you can be saved off of death row. That's what this great salvation is. See, justification in the Bible is a legal word. It means that God already has taken us as sinners into His court. He already has charges that's ready to be put upon us. But He hasn't executed those charges. We are in a place where we can be forgiven, we can be pardoned. And it's a legal word. And when you come to Christ as a sinner, lost, guilty, and helpless, and you put your trust in Christ as your Savior, God justifies you in the courts of heaven. He in His books, and all the account that He has against you, all the sins that are waiting to your charge in a future day, all those sins are blotted out. God justifies you. He declares you to be righteous. That's what the word means. I guess we would use a word that He acquits you. Drops all the charges. He does more than that. He takes the sin away and there's no charges against you. That's justification. That's what a sinner gets when they repent of their sins. They're facing hell. They're going down abroad on a crowded road to a lost eternity. They're neglecting God's great salvation. And they're going onward, onward to physical death and eventually to the second death in hell forever. And there they go. It's when you repent and you turn around and you trust in Christ as your Savior. God blots out all of those sins. That's why it's called so great a salvation. Forgiveness, remission, removal, dismissal of all those charges. And I'll tell you, when the courts of heaven justifies us, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. The highest court in heaven and earth justifies the sinner. Then nobody can ever lay a charge. All the devils in the world could never lay a charge and make a stick against God's people. Justification. So that's only the first step in God's great salvation. The next step is sanctification. He not only died on the cross to forgive us for what we've done, but He died to deliver us from what we are. That's why in Galatians 1 and verse 4, it says Christ gave Himself for our sins. What for? That He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's a present salvation. Justification, I guess you'd have to say it's a past, but it's really a future in a sense. But there's a present aspect to God's salvation. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for what we had done, but He died on the cross for what we were. And He can deliver us from what we are, sinners that we are. He can not only forgive us for that, but He can deliver us from that as well. That's called sanctification in the Bible. The Lord setting us apart. Once you're saved, setting us apart. Justification is a legal word that has to do with the Spirit. But sanctification has to do with our life after we're saved, and He can deliver us from this present evil world. And this is why most people say they don't believe they can be saved because they've got bad habits and they can't be saved and they have to give up their habits first. Now you're trying to save yourself when you say that. You can't save yourself. Oh, you could give up every bad habit you've ever had or ever did have. You give them all up and you still wouldn't be saved because God requires that which is past. Your sins are still there in the sight of God. You can quit them, not doing them, and cover it over, but they're still there in the sight of God. But the good news is that you don't have to give up anything to be saved. You don't have to give the Lord anything to be saved. You're on the getting end. And you come as a sinner, lost, guilty, helpless, and undone. And you come and you put your trust in a Savior that loves you. And the first thing He does is forgives you of all your sins. God in heaven declares you to be justified and right in His sight. And then He starts delivering you from what you are and all your bad habits. That's why you have to trust Him. If you could deliver yourself, you wouldn't need the Lord. You wouldn't need His great salvation. But you need the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. And I find most people that aren't saved, that want to be saved, that's the one thing that's holding them back. They say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to make a mess of it. I want to be sure when I trust the Lord that I'm going to live like a Christian as you live. When you get to that place, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. If you do, all you do is trusting in yourself, and you won't be saved that way. It's when you realize you are absolutely helpless to save yourself for eternity or save yourself from in time from this prison evil world, when you realize that you're absolutely helpless, then that's when you can trust the Lord. You can't trust the Lord as long as you think you can do a little bit yourself. The Lord doesn't need any help. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And we can only come to God as helpless, worthless sinners and trust Him as our Savior in order to be saved. So great a salvation. Then in the final end of this great salvation, there's the glorification of the body. We were hearing about that from Romans 8, verse 23, how we're waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. And when He comes back, the final act, a part of our salvation will be complete. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. We will be redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. God hasn't done anything with the old body yet. It's still here. And if the Lord doesn't come, then our bodies will perish, die, and our souls will go to be with the Lord. They will be resurrected. But the final aspect of this great salvation is future. It's the glorification of our bodies. When that takes place, the Christian will be finished. He'll be a finished product. When sin is finished, it's going to bring forth a great death. First, physical death. Then you're going to die in your sins, and then you're going to be raised from the dead, and it's going to bring forth the second death, where it says it's casting into the lake of fire. You might say, I don't believe in the fire of hell. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, it's a horrible thing, whatever it is. If it's only a symbol, it must be greater than literal fire. But it's a horrible place. It's a terrible place. It's a place, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. It's a place of torment. It's a place of remorse. It's a place of suffering. That's hell. It's all through the Bible. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven, because He was speaking to the majority of the people He was speaking to was going there. So He was warning them. John the Baptist came on the scene. He warned people to flee from the wrath to come. That's a time of trouble on this earth, but following that, there's a greater time of wrath. That's what hell is, where the wrath of God is poured out upon the wicked forever and forever. Thank God we have a great salvation to overcome so great a death. So great a death, terrible, but so great a salvation is wonderful. Your choice. It's your choice. We can't make it for you. It's your choice. You can go on your way, and when sin is finished, it's going to bring forth a terrible, terrible death in hell forever. Or you can accept God's salvation, and when that is finished, it's going to bring forth a glorified body and a glorified person, fashioned like the Lord Jesus, to be with Him in heaven forever. The choice is yours. Make the right choice before it's too late. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for this great salvation. So great, far beyond our little finite minds, as to why Thou wouldst provide such a salvation for poor lost sinners. And we thank Thee that out of Thy goodness and mercy and grace, Thou didst send the Savior into the world, and He brought salvation that appears to all men. And we ever pray, Lord, to help any in our company tonight, or wherever the gospel might be preached at this hour. We ever pray, Father, to speak to lost souls, that they might come in out of the gathering storm and that they might come in from reaping the awful wages of sin, which is eternal death, that they might come to Christ and get in on this great salvation before it's eternally too late. So we ask thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus.